God's Word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. This is Will Rice, and First Light is a brief Bible challenge encouraging you to read God's Word, to think about God's Word, and to live it in real life. There's a ditch on both sides of the road, and it doesn't matter which side you end up in. If you're in the ditch, you're in the ditch. And so a lot of times we have polar opposites. Now, balance is not the median position between two extremes. It's finding what the Bible says and trying to place yourself squarely where God is. So having said that, a lot of times there are, it seems, two angles to life. Some people, it's all them, right? This is what I want to do. I'm going to do it. I don't care what God wants. This is my plan. This is my will. This is what I'm going to do. Other people are aware that God is in control. God reigns in this universe. God is sovereign. And what that can mean to them, both these are perhaps caricatures, but a lot of people fall into this general line of thinking one way or the other. Other people think, well, God is in control, so it doesn't really matter. And, you know, they, to exaggerate, they fall down some steps, and then they feel glad that that's over because that was going to happen no matter what. And it's not just a doctrine. It is a paradigm through which everything is seen. So rearing children, revival, prayer, all these things are seen in the context of the way you view the sovereignty of God and the prayers of men or the choices of people. Now, I'm going to answer every question you've ever had about the sovereignty of God and the free will of men. No, of course I'm not. And Leviticus 26 is not primarily about that. However, God's character has not changed. God's character is undiminished. And while this was written for the people of Israel, we have Levitical law here. You find something out about God. You find something out about us, and you find a little bit of God's attitude on this matter. So in Leviticus 26, God is giving his take on his response to people who obey or do not obey the commandments that he's given them, in this case, the children of Israel. And in verse 2, he says, "Ye shall keep my Sabbaths and reverence my sanctuary. I am the Lord." So the Sabbath and the sanctuary were representations of what God was to mean to these people. And then he says in verse 3, "If ye walk in my statutes and keep my commandments and do them, then I will." And what follows is your kids will be healthy, your farms will be fat, things will go well. I mean, I'm kind of being silly here, but there are a lot of good things. And then for most of the rest of the chapter, he gives another if-then proposition. Verse 14, for example, "But if ye will not hearken unto me and will not do all these commandments, and if, I also will." So there's often in the Bible an if-then or an if-when proposition where if you do this, God says, I will do that. So what you learn here is that we have the power of choice. You know, it is astounding to me that God responds to us, that a sovereign God would ever condescend to respond to me. I mean, that God would be not the responder, but the responder in any context is amazing. But he does. God says, if you will do right, you will be blessed. If you do wrong, you will get whacked. Now, God knows everything. God knows the future. And let me tell you something. You cannot foist your perception of the world onto God and consider that God is just a super version of you. God doesn't, there's no time with God. There's no space with God in the way that it exists with you. So God is beyond you. He's not a super version of you. So having said all that, how amazing that God would respond to us. He responds to evil. He punishes. He responds to good. He blesses. He responds to prayer. How an infinite God would ever respond to the finite prayers of a person like me, I do not understand. I do not comprehend. I don't know how that works. And I think we're in danger of trying to so doggedly to figure God out that we no longer just take God by faith. Look, how do I understand how an infinite God responds to the prayers of someone like me? I don't know. But he does, and he commands me and invites me to pray. So we do have choice. We have the power of choice to do right, to do wrong. God responds to promises. That's actually what the context is here. And if God responds to promises, then surely he responds to prayers. On the other hand, we have choice, but God has the power. In other words, no matter what decision you or I make today, God will win. Later on, after saying, you know, keep my Sabbaths, he says, if you don't keep my Sabbaths, if you disregard me, your land shall be desolate and your cities waste. Verse 34, then shall the land enjoy her Sabbaths, shall enjoy her rest, as long as it lieth desolate and ye be in your enemy's land, even then shall the land rest and enjoy her Sabbaths. As long as it lieth desolate, it shall rest. God says, look, the land's going to get its rest, her rest, one way or the other. You can observe my Sabbaths and honor me as the God I am, the God that brought you out of Egypt, or you can rebel and I'll just, there'll be a diaspora. There'll be like seeds blown to the wind all over Babylon and wherever else, and the land will get her rest one way or the other, either by your choice or by your refusal, but God will win. So he'll win one way or the other. Now look, the bottom line is that harmony is aligning your will and God's. So for instance, verses 44 through 46 say, if you do wrong and you suffer for it and you accept your punishment, and you turn back to God, he says, I will for their sakes remember the covenant of their ancestors, whom I brought forth out of the land of Egypt in their sight, in the sight of the heathen, that I might be their God. I am the Lord. Look, today, what if you don't know God's will? Then be willing to do the part of God's will that you know. What if you don't know if something is God's will and you're praying about it? Well, oftentimes I'm praying precisely because I don't know. I mean, if I know I have a promise, I know what God's will is, and I can pray and know that that will be answered. But what if, as is often the case, I don't know? Then pray, because it's better to pray and not cut God out than to be covetous or worried and think that you're doing God a favor by not informing him, not including him, I should say, in your life. I mean, who are we to say, God, this is your will, I'll do it, and God, this is just what I want, so I'll beg, I'll scheme, I'll worry, and you stay at a distance. No, God should be sovereign in your life, and God is sovereign. There's a sense in which he is sovereign.